And so to another continuing theme in the Science Show, how a regional university can make such a difference. Recently we've been to Warwick University, Federation University in Ballarat, University of New England in Armidale, and this time Newcastle, New South Wales. Meet Professor Alex Zielinski, the newish Vice-Chancellor. His own line of research takes us back to driving, but with all kinds of association. First of all, your own work, and you've done lots of things, but I know you're famous for having technology that can watch my face when I'm driving and somehow predict whether I'm dropping off or maybe I'm a bit pissed or something like that. How did you come to design that and how does it work?
Well, it really goes back to basic research we did at the ANU in human-machine interaction. The work started initially about how could we get disabled people to be able to control machines or interact with them in a natural way. And the cost of the technology, you know, computers back then in the late 90s, probably two orders of magnitude more expensive than they are today. And it became very clear that if you could potentially look where you wanted to go, a wheelchair could go in those directions. And we were building such demonstrators, but very quickly I understood that to commercialise that work, we had to get it down to be hundreds of dollars. And that made me think, well, how could we find a commercial product or a way to actually turn this technology into something which had scale, because scale drives down cost. And in the automotive industry, components which are quite advanced have to cost of the order $150. So we start to think about what could we do in the automotive industry. And driving a car is very much a experience what you call human in the loop. You are processing the information, then making decisions and taking action. So that's a critical part of driving. You really need to know that the human is actually engaged in driving, and particularly if they could actually get into a situation where it's dangerous. So we developed these computer algorithms and systems and made them cheap enough that you could look at a person's face and understand where they're looking. Are the eyes on the road or not? And the challenging part about that work, which made it really challenging, is it had to work for every single driver and had to work automatically. There was none of this sit down and find the eyes on a screen with a cursor and mark them, none of that. And it had to work for males, females, people with eyeglasses, old people, young people, people with facial hair, people of various races, skin colourings, and work it day and night. And so it really was a very difficult artificial intelligence problem in a sense. We, in the end, tackled it, and that's what made it unique. And this, in the last year, Cadillac have actually installed it now in a car in the US. So it is now a system which allows a driver to be driving and it alerts them if they're inattentive. And also, potentially, if they're looking over a car which is in automatic mode or self-driving mode, that the driver is ready to take control. So the idea is the driver can't go away and do something else. You've got to be attentive to the task.
So presumably it didn't just slow down if it sees you're a bit woozy or stop the car, but would make an alarm or something like that to wake you up?
It could actually just alert you to your eyes are off the load. The first application we found, to get to that $150 component, it's taken nearly 20 years, you know. But in the meantime, what we did was we worked with the mining industry, where there is drivers who drive these big trucks, which are worth several million dollars, and they drive them for shifts of sometimes 12, 14 hours, and they can get inattentive or tired. And the system would actually automatically detect that and send a message back to their supervisor, who would then have a quick look at the video and say, they are getting tired, pull over, stop. And there was also alarms also raised. And it's interesting that you find when people are getting inattentive or tired, you sometimes have these emergency braking situations. They have a micro sleep, they wake up, oh, I'm going off the road, and they hit the brakes. And we found when using the system and the warnings provided, the number of emergency brakings went down and the number of incidences went down. And after proving it in the mining industry, it's now been able to be moved into the automotive industry.
I can understand why you were in defence science for so long, and now you're in University of Newcastle as the chief, the Vice-Chancellor, and you've moved to a place, well, rather like the one where you grew up and where you went to university, the University of Wollongong, in an area that was smokestack technology-based, as is Newcastle, and yet which has to change to the 21st century, all sorts of U-turns and innovations going on. How are you dealing with Newcastle in that respect?
Well, that was one of the attractions, right, Robin. I went to a city I kind of grew up in. Newcastle and Wollongong, all my sister cities, you know, both steel industry towns originally, coal mining, heavy industry, and very diverse population, both set on very scenic coastlines and with a very relaxed lifestyle. So I kind of got that. And also people just aren't pretentious. The other interesting thing for me was that Wollongong and Newcastle have only got one university in the town. So it's a one-town university. So generally the community gets behind the local university. I'm not jealous of my colleagues here in Sydney or in Melbourne where you've got four or five universities in the same town and everyone competing. So what is your local university in Sydney? It's hard to answer that question. There we actually offer the offerings which effectively help power the economy and the region. I actually think that the universities of the region, such as Newcastle, can make a difference. And it's been shown. There's a great book that I could recommend to your listeners, Robin, is called The Smartest Places on Earth. And they did a case study of 35 regions in the US and Europe that were very strong in this traditional steel industry or mining or car manufacturing. And then the world changed and industry moved away. And they were able to reinvent themselves. But one of the important ingredients was a university that had a very, very strong R&D base. And also backing of industry backing, but also civic leadership. And also another interesting thing, there's a place that people like living. When I read this book, I thought Newcastle is one of these places.
Exactly, yeah. Well, of course, at the University of Wollongong, going from the smokestack, they have turned to things like the Innovations Building with 100 different scientists,
yep,
working on things like 3D printing of organs, of muscle, of nerve, of ears, all sorts of things like that. It seems almost incredible. How are you doing it in Newcastle? Give me a few examples of the kinds of things that you're turning to.
I think we've traditionally had very strong engineering faculties, which were there to support the steel and heavy industry. We then moved into medical training and provided very novel training of our doctors and nurses. But now we're trying to bring the two together. And there's been a number of areas that I think that's really exciting is, for example, Brett Nyland's work in environmental sciences and life science. And he's been looking at molecular microbiology, genetic and genomic engineering. If they're successful, it's a defense against superbugs. You know, really, I thought there is, you know, when we're coming to the end of antibiotics, now there is a way put forward by Professor Nyland and his team. But there's also other people in engineering which are looking how to transform coal into carbon fibers. We know that coal is, well, kind of a sunset industry when you think of about particularly using for thermal heating and the release of CO2, but there's a way here to maybe potentially create a new industry that could feed the world's demand for this wonder material.
Newcastle Vice-Chancellor Dr. Alex Zelinsky. Yes, lateral thinking scores again.